Phase 2. Chapter 22. We parked the car 2 blocks away from the storage facility and walked the rest of the way in. When we reached it, the huge looming fence topped with barbed wire made us rethink our original plan of hacking the security system to open it up. If, for some reason, it got closed behind us, there was no way we'd be able to get out, especially with Sophie in canine form. So we formulated a new plan. Veda pulled out her tablet and disabled the sensors on the fence. Then she looped a feed to the security cameras, just long enough for me to cut a slit in the chain link large enough for us to fit through. I held the hole open for them so they could slip in, then followed, pulling the chain link closed as much as possible before binding it together with a few zip ties. We wanted to reactivate the security cameras in case there was something a guard watching them would notice was not happening that should, and the fence needed to be lined up well enough that our entrance wasn't easily seen. Once we were in, we took a moment to get the lay of the land. We stood on a hill, and the inside of the fence was lined with large privacy bushes that were perfect for cover. Once we tucked ourselves in the bushes, we surveyed the other side of the property. There were 15 rows of buildings full of storage units. Each had a large sign on the side that displayed the number of the building. "At least we'll be able to find the unit relatively easily," I told Veda in a whisper. "It's 11F, right?"
"That's what I was told," Veda replied. "We need to map the security guard's route before we head in, though."
Locating the roaming guard took about 15 minutes, but felt more like an hour. As we crouched in the bushes, we listened closely because the one thing we needed to make sure of was that there was only one guard. While Veda's intel was most likely correct, a guard just patrolling the edge of the property would have been catastrophic to our plan at that moment. When we finally did see 2 small headlights belonging to a golf cart around the corner of the building to our far right, we felt a little better. A golf cart wouldn't be able to go too fast in case any sort of chase ensued. It putted along, weaving in and out of the rows of units. The moment we spotted it, we noted the time and waited. Once the guard had gone through each row and started again, we had what we needed, a limit on how long we'd have to get in, get out, and get back to cover. The waiting ensued again until the guard drove his cart down the row between building F and G. As soon as he rounded the corner out of sight, it was time for us to move. The 3 of us ran down the hill, Veda tapping her tablet every so often to freeze the cameras that we needed to get by. Moments later, we sprinted between buildings F and G, scanning for Unit 11. We got to the end of the row, where the last unit was marked 10. The unit we were looking for had to be on the other side of the building. Very carefully, I leaned my face around the end of the building to check for the guard. He was out of sight, so we edged our way along the short end of the building. I repeated my check before entering the row on the backside of building F. Lucky for us, the guard was just turning his golf cart around the corner. As soon as it was out of sight, we were on the move. Unit 11 was right on the end, where we suspected it would be. I felt like I was watching myself in a heist movie as Veda grabbed a small pair of bolt cutters out of the bag on my back and handed them to me. Lifting the heavy padlock attached to the door of the unit, I placed the cutter blades on each side and squeezed hard. The lock cut easier than I'd expected. I handed both the cutters and the padlock back to Veda, and she tucked them in the bag. Bending down, I slid the catch attached to the door back to release it and gently pulled up. The door was heavy, so I pulled a little harder, trying to move slowly so that it didn't make a lot of noise. It ended up taking much longer than anticipated to get the door pulled up quietly enough for us to get in. Veda obsessively watched the time.
"We have to move! We are at 6 minutes!"
I nodded, and the 3 of us crouched under the partially lifted door. I turned and looked back at it.
"Let's close it," I whispered.
"We'll be trapped in here if we close it,"
Veda protested.
"Yes, but if we don't get out in time before the guard gets back and around to this spot, he'll definitely notice the door's open. He may not notice a missing lock, though. Plus, we need to turn on our flashlights, which will make this unit visible from even further away,"
I insisted,
kicking myself for not thinking that part of the plan through ahead of time.
Fine, but I still don't think it's a good idea, she hissed.
Sophie moved further back into the unit and disappeared into the pitch black. Then I heard her voice in my mind.
If the guard notices the lock and starts to open the unit, I'll distract him while you two take off. Teeth are a great deterrent to those not expecting them.
I nodded in the direction she'd gone in to let her know I'd heard her, and then worked the door closed as quietly as possible. Veda and I clicked on our flashlights and looked around. Starting about 5 feet in, the unit was packed with neatly stacked rows of boxes, all the exact same size. We counted 6 rows, and they were each 10 boxes long.
How the hell are we supposed to find anything? There's way too much here,
I whispered as loud as I could.
There should be labels on the boxes, Veda said, walking between rows. Look, here they are.
I joined her and looked where her flashlight was pointing. On the side of the boxes were official-looking label stickers. Each one had a handwritten date on it, but no other information. They were labeled by month and year.
What month did the Haven Mist sail?
March,
Veda replied.
Look for March 1995,
I told her.
Found it,
Sophie's voice rang out in my mind.
Holy shit, I said, looking at Veda. Sophie already found it.
Sophie laughed.
I just happened to be standing right in front of it.
Veda and I pointed our lights toward the back of the row of boxes and found Sophie. When we reached her, Veda rubbed Sophie's head.
I swear, one day I'm going to figure out how to give humans night vision as good as yours without having to wear ridiculous headgear.
Sophie laughed proudly, and I almost shushed her before remembering I was the only one who could hear her. Veda and I scanned the boxes in front of Sophie and found the box we were looking for, the third one in the stack. I handed my light to Veda and pulled down the 2 boxes on top of it, setting them to the side as clouds of dust puffed up in the air from moving them. When the dust reached Veda, she grabbed her nose and stifled a sneeze, making all our hearts race. Once we were certain a nasal irritation would not give us away, I popped off the top of the box we wanted to get into. It was jam-packed with folders full of paperwork. Veda and I stood, squished up against each other, pulling the folders apart just far enough to determine what the papers were for. There were construction plans, route maps, and sales records. By the time we reached the back of the box, it had become clear that it wasn't the one we needed.
It was nearly 2 months before the ship was officially determined missing. Let's fast forward away, I whispered.
Veda stepped back, and I removed the March and April boxes from the stack and opened the one labeled May 1995. Again, we flipped through the rows of folders, me taking the back of the box and Veda the front while I worked over her. I completed my section without finding anything of interest and looked at my watch.
10 minutes in.
Veda ignored my report and pulled a folder completely out of the box, laying it open on top of the other folders.
Look at this. It's ticket holder information for the passengers on the ship. They are copies of receipts, actually.
It's not a manifest, but that should give us some information as to who was on the ship, at least, I replied.
Veda finished flipping through the pages in the folder until she got to the last one. She pulled it out and held it up.
This, however, is a manifest.
The paper in her grasp was thick, handwritten, yellowed, and looked like someone had spilled coffee on it. Some of the writing was smeared or washed away.
That will have to do, I said hurriedly. We have to get out of here.
Don't move,
Sophie yelled in my mind. I put my arm around Veda, put my hand over her mouth, and leaned my lips close to her ear.
Sophie hears something.
My heart raced, forcing blood into my ears that was so loud I was certain anyone passing by outside could hear it. I listened through the pounding as closely as I could while staring at the tiny sliver of light showing through the bottom of the unit door. Suddenly, the light got brighter, and I knew it was the headlights of the golf cart. I rolled my eyes to myself. Of course the guard's rounds may not all take the same amount of time. If I was him, I'd spend half the night racing myself around the place just to see how fast I could get through it all. The light passed by after what seemed like ages,
and Veda and I finally let out our breath quietly. I removed my hand from her mouth and turned to the file.
Get this packed up and grab whatever else will fit in the bag. We have to get out of here.
Veda obeyed, moving slowly to keep from rustling the pages. She tucked the folder of interest into the back, grabbed four others randomly, and shoved them in there as well. Then she slowly zipped the bag up.
Done. Let's go. Shit!
Sophie yelled in my mind. My eyes flew to the bottom of the door, only to see brightening lights shining through. This time, coming from the opposite direction.
I think Plan B is about to commence, Sophie said. You two go to the right of the door. If he opens it, I'll go at him from the left. You two run.
I switched off my flashlight, covered Veda's mouth once again, and put my index finger to my lip to tell her to be silent. She turned her light off, and when she nodded, I let go of her mouth and grabbed her by the hand. She pulled her hand away and pulled her tablet out of the small satchel she had it stored in. Of course, she would need it to disable the cameras in general so we can make it out unseen. We stepped quickly, quietly to the door and moved as far right as we could. Sophie positioned herself on the other side, and we waited, afraid to breathe. We hadn't even bothered to stack the boxes back up. It wouldn't matter if we were discovered anyway. The light kept moving until it was right in front of the door. Then it stopped, and we knew we were fucked.
You two run, and don't stop until you are back at the car,
Sophie whispered to my mind.
Keep the cameras off as long as you can. I'll meet you there.
I wanted to protest. I didn't want to leave her there. Everything in me wanted to wait and battle off the security guard to get her out safe, but I knew that wouldn't end well. After all, as she mentioned earlier, she had the teeth, and the guard wouldn't be expecting that. That is when we heard the crackling beep of a walkie-talkie.
Hey, Will! Come in, Will! Over!
The guard's raspy voice rang out. The walkie-talkie bleeped again, and a staticky voice sounded out.
Will here. What do you need? Over. I have a missing lock on F-11. Has anyone been logged into this unit today?
The guard asked.
Over.
There was a pause. I assumed for the Will guy to check, and then,
no. No visitors recorded. Over. I'm gonna check it out. Over.
The guard's footsteps sounded out as he got off his golf cart. Veda tapped my arm violently, and then held something up in my face. It was a black beanie with a face covering on it. We'd both nearly forgotten we'd brought them just in case. I slipped the beanie on, pulled it down, and stepped behind Veda. She would need to go first, as I could run faster than she could. I would not chance her getting caught up behind me and not being able to get back to her. The unit door began to rattle as the guard pulled up on the handle. We all tucked ourselves as far into the shadows of the side of the unit as we could, and waited. Once the door was up about a foot off the ground, it started to move faster. Then the guard pulled hard and threw the door up. Veda started to move, but I held her back. We wanted the guard as far into the unit as possible before making our break. The man, in better shape than I'd guessed, took a few tentative steps into the unit and fumbled with the tool belt around his waist. He pulled out a mag light and clicked it on. He shined the light down the middle of the unit, directly down the row we'd left open boxes in.
What the hell?
He mumbled, taking a few steps forward. When the realization set in for the guard that the unit had indeed been broken into, he swung his light to his left as he spun around. That was our cue to cut out. The instant his light landed on Sophie, she let out a terrifying, guttural bark and lunged at him. Veda and I, expecting to have to bolt away, saw a change in our opportunity as the guard stumbled backward and dropped his flashlight. We hugged the wall and slid out the door, staying tight to the building and doing our best not to have our footsteps heard. Listening to the sounds of Sophie's horrifying growls and barks, we waited until we were halfway down the corridor before we started running. We ran as quickly as Veda's short legs could carry her. She tapped her tablet every 10 paces or so, keeping us from being seen by the cameras. When we reached the hill, I planted my hands on her lower back and pushed her up as she ran to make the climb faster. We flew into the bushes and out the other side. We stopped just long enough to locate the opening we had cut in the fence. I pulled a knife from my pocket as we ran to it. It took less than 3 seconds to cut the zip ties holding it together, and I held it open for Veda. Then I slipped through. I grabbed one side and pulled back as hard as I could, then did the same to the other side so Sophie wouldn't have any issue getting through when she needed to. When that was done, Veda and I took off, pushing our legs to the limits as we ran back towards the car. Silently thanking the heavens that we hadn't parked any further away and that we'd left the doors unlocked, Veda and I made it into the car safely. I started the engine and rolled my windows down. A split second before I was going to gun the engine to drive to the storage facility to get Sophie, I heard a bark. I flipped on the headlights, and Sophie was running straight at us. I stretched through the front seats and opened the back seat door, keeping a hold of the handle. Sophie jumped in without breaking stride, and I slammed the door closed. I had my foot on the gas before I'd even leaned back into my seat. Instead of gunning it, however, I pulled away from the curb at a normal speed and did a U-turn in the empty neighborhood street. It took a massive amount of control not to speed away, but that wouldn't have been smart if the storage people had already called the cops. Sophie lay panting in the back seat for a few blocks before sitting up. She shifted into her human form and was left sitting naked behind us.
Veda, please tell me you brought me some clothes.
Oh, yeah, Veda said, looking around, her eyes settling on me. They are on Steven's back. I hadn't even noticed the bag on my back had pushed me forward in my seat when we got to the car. I leaned further forward, and Veda helped me remove the bag while I drove. She dug out Sophie's clothes and tossed them back to her.
Thank you,
Sophie told her as she got dressed. It took about 10 minutes for our hearts to stop racing and for us to get far enough away to feel like we could take a full breath. When we were convinced we were safe, I felt the weight of a cement truck slide off my shoulders, and I relaxed back into my seat. I glanced at Sophie and then Veda,